You have a scary face.
No, you are.
I drink all the time.
Drive past your house.
Ohaku or Not covers the official handbook of the Marvel Universe Deluxe Edition, an encyclopedia series published from 1985 to 1988 by Marvel Comics. And we cover it with several panelists with little to no knowledge of the Marvel Universe, giving their first impressions of each character, its look, concept, and story. Warning, listener discretion is advised. Ohaku or Not is a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. This is your host, Siskoid, and with me today are...
Isabel!
Natalie!
It is
Jose
Shotgun.
Loki to Machine Man.
What a sound.
Up an octave.
Maybe we should have done a room tone.
An extra one. Yeah.
The listenership is divided on these sorts of noises. But not on Loki. I don't need to get into it too much, since Loki was the main villain in the MCU films for a good while. He is Thor's foster brother, actually born of frost giants, but adopted by Odin after he defeated his kin. He grew up to be the god of mischief, and in the Norse sagas, is the one that sparks off Ragnarok by leading an alliance of evil against Asgard. In the comics, his schemes against Thor, specifically convincing the Hulk to attack the god of thunder, that's what causes the Avengers to first come together. Like all the gods, he's tougher, stronger, faster than a human being, and so long-lived as to be immortal. Unlike most of the gods, he wields powerful magic as his main shtick, magic that can do most anything. In the comics, he's more overtly evil than in the movies, but mischief is still an important element of his personality, so he wants to humiliate and embarrass his enemies more than he wants to kill them. He's the master of sarcasm and ego-bruising quips. He does have a sense of honor, and what he really wants to do is rule Asgard, and if he can't, he's willing to destroy it. We're going to come back to Loki in a future special because there are some very cool, more heroic permutations of him later.
Ooh.
But at this point, he's straight up Thor's arch nemesis, pictured with a few helmet styles. We have him fighting Surtur, the fire giant, showing how cutting off his head won't kill him, as an astral projection, sitting on a throne and casting a spell.
What a dreamboat.
Hot.
Yeah. I don't like the head thing. What? Can you put it back, please?
Yeah.
Let's look at the other picture.
Leave your head alone.
And just dream.
This is the astral projection I don't like.
Any detached head is very uncomfortable.
Like he looks like a sperm.
Yeah, it looks like...
And this is what Loki's sperm looked like way back when.
Like his father's sperm?
Okay. Half of him as a sperm.
Half of him.
Okay, perfect. So he doesn't have like thousands of little Ds inside of his body.
No. That would be horrible. Horrifying.
I think you should.
Oh my god, could you imagine if your sperm just looked like you? Like under a microscope?
I feel like that would make masturbation a lot more awkward. I'll be honest.
But okay, is there like one static face, or is there like a range of emotions?
That I think, they all react.
I think it's all panic.
I actually saw a documentary that put sperm on a human scale. So like, so they compared like finding the ovum. It's basically like going into a city full of skyscrapers and everyone's going up the skyscrapers and we don't know where it is.
Yeah.
Aww. It was very interesting.
Well, there you go, guys.
So if you're looking for something to watch at home during these difficult times.
But it's easier for Loki because he's from a breed of frost giants. So it's all like giant ova.
Which is a very cool frost giant. That just sounds cool as hell.
So, okay, so he can change his appearance.
He's a shapeshifter, yeah.
So is this his base appearance? Or has he decided it would be his main shift would be in this?
Was he not, like, a smaller, less strong? Yeah, and they were trying to, like, take this thing.
So is that why he's not giant? Possibly.
Gene Hendricks will tell us.
Please do.
The real story.
I'm tell sure us everything, sir. So it's not in the...
Well, I have not read every single Thor comic. I leave that to Gene.
No, okay, so you mean about the comics. There's no lore, like...
There's probably lore. I'm leaving that to Gene.
No, but is there Norse lore about him being a frost giant?
Yes.
Yeah, that's part of it.
But I'll let Jean tell us if that's actually
well,
true.
Well, I can just read here, you know. Well, the infant was Loki, whom Lofey, whatever, had kept hidden due to his shame over his son's diminutive size.
There you go. Aww. So.
Poor Loki.
Runt.
Tiny, tiny, giant man.
Yep. So like tiny, man. Giant. So, yeah. Average size.
I want to know why he has shields on his thighs.
It kind of looks like if he had, like, solar panels.
I think, and the ones on the shoulders, too.
Seriously, it looks like he's a bumper car.
Oh, yeah.
What?
You know, bumper cars have all the bumpers around them. Like, so that
it's been a long time.
I've seen a bumper car. He needs the helmet. I like the horns. They look really cool. They kind of remind me of a beetle. But the whatever sash.
The ribbon?
Oh, it's yeah. Fucking ugly.
To me, it looks like a gymnastics ribbon.
Yes.
I hate it.
Does. It's like twirl.
I feel awful. Like it kind of looks like an anime ponytail.
It does, too.
Well, I hate it.
But that would mean that he would be blonde and then I couldn't love him anymore.
Yeah.
So is he not blonde for sure?
No, he's not. Right, he's not, please.
She black says with gray. Panic.
Black gray.
With green eyes. I have a question about the panel beneath the main picture.
The fire monster?
That has a face, right?
Yeah.
I'm not just projecting
it's
the face.
It's the fire giant that is in the beginning of Ragnarok.
Is that a giant unibrow?
Yeah. That was my follow-up question.
I think it is.
Searcher will has his own entry.
Are there like water giants and air giants?
I think there's fire and there's
fire
ice. Fire and ice.
And is there an avatar giant? Master all the giants? Yay! It's a turtle.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I feel like I missed a lot of my life.
I mean, I'm kind of sad because I don't have a lot to say because I love him so much. Yeah. I love...
Okay, do you like this face or Tom Hiddleston's face more?
Both. I mean, both. He's actually... I was afraid that he would look bad.
Yeah, he actually has a pretty handsome face here.
But Tom.
I mean, Tom Hiddleston what is very attractive.
They're both very angular and strange.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is more sexy suave physically than Hiddleston, but Hiddleston nails the personality.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Check on the second page, the one where he's sitting back, that's like more classic comics Loki. Like Loki, and he looks more like...
And I like that.
He looks too bulky on that.
He's more villainous.
Like, I realize that he's a small giant and a god figure, but since he's the god of mischief, I don't like the really like bulky brawn body that we see here. It doesn't suit him.
Yeah, it is weird considering his power set.
And I still can't understand why Hiddleston, like, he to me has the perfect shape to be Loki because he's lanky and tall and all, but knowing that he actually auditioned for Thor, that doesn't make sense to me.
That was a mistake.
Have you ever seen the interview where he talks about that? It's very, very good.
I love it.
And I believe Chris Hemsworth is there too. Perfect.
So they have a good dynamic, and yeah, the fact that he's the master of sarcasm, but I think he's still loyal, right, in a certain way?
He has a sense of honor, so if you help him, he will feel obligated to repay that.
I feel like we see that in the movies.
Yeah. So
he's like kind of begrudgingly like, oh, great, I guess.
So like, if I give him a favor, he'll always be nice. Like, I just bring him cookies
not
always.
You'll be nice that one time.
No. I bring him cookies every week.
Oh, okay.
And now he's just my boyfriend forever.
As a favor to you?
Oh my god, no! I made you a favor. Will you now sleep with me?
I made you a favor. Will you now make me love?
That's how all relationships work.
Yeah. You know what?
Not wrong.
What's happening with the boots, though?
I kind of like them.
I mean, it reminds me of, like, Baldur had the same kind of style. Mm-hmm. It's the same person that...
But is it a hole? Or is it like a horseshoe situation?
I see it like a horseshoe, but it's like empty in the middle.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you could put there's like a space.
Yes. You could put a giant screw.
Yeah. Look at the right leg. You can tell.
Oh, yeah, by
the ankle. Indented.
This guy has weak ankles.
Him.
He's definitely spraining his ankle.
I mean, so do I.
So do I.
And And I like that, like, even in the movie, they kept the colors, they kept the feeling of the costume. They let go of the cape, which I agree. Like, it doesn't need it.
Yeah, he has a cape sometimes.
Wait, he has, but it's not yellow. It's not that
darker.
Let's say that he got rid of the shoulder pads. Yes. So that was a good move.
And the hip pads.
You know
and
what I like?
Ribbon.
I like the hand pose behind the hip.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's
oh,
like yeah. so mm-hmm. casual and like, fuck off, man.
He's like, oh, look at me.
But I like because it's not like the proud, typical hero, hands on hips. He's just like,
chilling. It feels it's almost condescending.
Yeah.
It's more underhanded.
I didn't know you could like stand condescendingly.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen me stand?
Oh, no. And especially with the other hand up pointing, like,
look, I'm creating like a flamey thing.
Yeah, powers. I do shit.
I like the chest part of it, like the design on the chest, but it's a little penis-y.
No, they're pointing to the penis.
And that's a little penis-y over here.
And, well, it's always a little penis-y.
It's a really small penis, too. That's...
I don't know. Good, I mean.
No. I'm talking about the yellow part on the big penis.
Oh, I meant like this. I feel like the black part is like someone blocking out. Like if you added that to an image.
Woohoo! So, I wish it wasn't there so I could see the bulge.
Yeah. Agreed. I wish we had bulge here.
He's like thrusting it forward. It's not a good representation.
Also, he looks like a million years old in this panel.
And he's wasting possible wine?
Yeah, that looks like wine. It's not a good thing, dude.
Or maybe iced tea.
He's the god of mischief. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is he just mean? Or, like, can he be playful?
He's a troll.
He's a trickster god, but he's also the god of evil, so it's...
Oh my god!
Like, in the comics, it's not just mischief. He's the god of evil.
The god of evil!
If you're evil, and if you're a Norse, and you're evil Norse person... You would worship at Loki's altar.
I didn't know that.
But that's just like a whole different...
Yeah. Loki causes the end of the world.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
His boat of fucking nails.
The boat of nails.
Yes,
fingernails.
I feel like...
Whoa! Why did you have to specify? I was very happy imagining like those nail beds that fuck you. Yeah.
We already mentioned
it. Yeah,
I know, and I conveniently forgot it.
It's the fingernails of the dead.
Yes,
of course.
I hope so. If it's the fingernails of the living, some people are having a bad time.
We need to because that's why they're cutting it short, so it takes longer to grow and to create the shit.
Like, this is his good phase, but then he becomes an evil god that causes the end of the world.
I don't like him anymore.
I just feel like if you're going to mention mischief all the time, how can you also be... The god of evil.
Yeah. Because you feel like you gotta lead with evil.
Big evils and little evils.
It's like once I stole a chocolate bar, and also I've also killed 300 people.
Whoa! Bury the lead.
I don't know how close
this is to the actual Ragnarok story, but in there's a DC comic where it plays out with superheroes in their place or whatever. And Loki gets his head chopped off in the saga, apparently. And when the head drops back down, he's got a beard in this version.
Oh,
and
I thought he grew a beard.
Yeah. He has a beard. And then when he, like, somebody lops off his head, and the head falls back down on the killer, and the beard spikes and kills the person. Like, Ragnarok is about the good gods and the bad gods fighting each other, and it's mutual annihilation. It's whatever happens, it's like, everybody dies. I kill you, but you kill me.
That is the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Eliza.
Approve. Dealing with 5 o'clock shadow is enough.
Like, death stubble. By beard.
But, like, a killing beard stubble? Not a fan.
Killing beard.
I am not shaving my legs for you, bitch.
Well, I mean, if you're also a god, maybe you're stabbing people with your leg hair.
Is Loki hot or not? We discuss both ends of the spectrum. Ultimately, is he hot or not?
Hottest to date.
Yeah, I think obviously hot.
I freaking can't wait for the show. Hot, hot, hot.
I like a snarky character. I've said that a million times on the show. I like a snarky character that's talky and has double motives. I'm all about that shit.
And I like a little bit of mischief.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Evil wrapped in mischief to distract you from the evil.
Mm. To be fair, he's only tried to end the world once, I think.
And he succeeded.
No, I would be vastly surprised.
No, it could be worse.
Nope. This is the excuse you make to go out with him.
Has the end of the world happened again lately in comics? Isn't it about to happen again?
It always happens.
Okay.
So it is, you're the one holdout.
I can't.
Yeah.
Oh, Loki.
It's okay, more for us.
Yay.
Have fun. Sleeping with evil.
I called the head.
I want you to say the first word that comes to your mind.
Bad.
I would have gone for insanely smart and incredibly good looking.
Thor is a hero.
Seriously? You're just going to buy into that whole blonde, muscly myth?
Long shot. In another dimension. Listen to this one.
Know if Mike says that.
I love that we're at the letter L and you're like, okay, now this one's ridiculous.
In another dimension, the world is ruled by spineless, literally spineless, shitbags of blubber.
What?
Who had one of their scientists genetically create a race of slaves with, you know, useful skeletons to do the heavy lifting.
Sure.
But the scientists had no intention of creating slaves. He put a strong, independent, rebellious streak in their DNA. Some, like Longshot, were designed with superhuman powers. He was grown and born as an adult, and his first words were, "No one owns me."
Wow.
He was still put to work as a stuntman in his master's movie productions, but he escaped and became the slave rebellion's leader. Captured, he was artificially given amnesia to turn him back into a slave. Instead, it didn't work. But he hopped a portal to Earth. He had adventures there, eventually ended up as a member of the X-Men. His main power is great luck, like Domino in the Deadpool movie.
Okay.
Particularly useful in his knife throwing, as they always seem to find their target. He can also read psychic imprints, basically the recent thoughts of people or the objects that they've recently handled by simply touching them. When he uses these powers, his left eye glows. Because he was genetically engineered, he has hollow bones that allow him to perform feats of superhuman agility, and he only weighs 80 pounds. And he also has only 3 fingers and a thumb on each hand. Personality-wise, he's a very happy-go-lucky, he loves thrills and adventure, he has few inhibitions, he doesn't really understand our world, so he might call bacon dead burned animal flesh, stuff like that. Pictured fighting Spiral, who is a mercenary who was sent after him.
I feel you described 3 characters.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of those Hallmark Christmas movies that have like 72 plots.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And you're like...
It's like late 80s X-Men, Longshot, Cable, motherfucking Gambit. They're all like too many concepts put together, in my opinion. Well, Longshot is one of these.
My big question is, his creators, are they like Dittos in Pokemon? Just blobs of pink?
No, they've got faces. We'll see what...
Yeah, Ditto has a face.
Okay, well, we'll see such a character...
It's my favorite Pokemon.
Eventually, and not too long.
When you say shit...
Well, I mean shitbags, like, you know.
Okay, so you don't mean actual...
Literally spineless...
Figuratively
shitbags.
I have many questions.
Literally blubber.
Okay.
Yeah, Ditto.
I have many questions, but I'll focus... On 2 of them.
Okay.
For now.
Start with the first one.
What is going on with the mullet?
He looks like David Bowie.
I agree and I hate it.
I love it!
His creators are blobs. They don't know what to do with
it. I'm going to say his hair is like feathered.
Oh.
It's the bone, the hollow bone motif, I think.
What?
You just lost your way.
I thought you meant like... Like, in the 80s, there was, like, this weird, like, featheringness.
That's what I mean, yes.
Okay, not literal feathers. But
not literal feathers.
Okay.
Literal hollow bones.
You can't.
Figurative. Feathered hair.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Not feathers for hair.
But the other question I have is, what's going on with his pants? Why is it so tight around the knees?
80s. Have you ever worn friggin' leather pants?
I know, but look at the knees and then look at the thighs and...
In the 80s.
I feel like I can see the sweat underneath them.
Yeah.
Like, that's just making them fit uncomfortably.
It reminds me of a ham.
Oh, because it's, like, tied up and stuff?
Yeah.
Or no, sausage. I'm hungry.
Oh, sausage also, yeah.
Mm. Now I'm really hungry.
I like that his arms, like, the bottom of the just, like, the cuff near his head. It's just, like, it looks like a normal sweater.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sweater. I would wear, like, the top half of this. Like, honestly.
He's, like, wearing a leather jacket with, like, a sweater cuff.
Yeah.
And I like to think the star is maybe knitted, too.
Like, I legitimately would wear this, like, as a jacket.
Of course. It's like a Letterman jacket, but with bad boy motorcycle leather.
And I like the star. That's cool.
I like the star too.
Why does he have, like, it looks like ammunition
for us, where the knives go?
Maybe it's the knife.
Oh, tiny knives. I hope someone stands behind him and he just, like, moves, like, rotates the thing so he can just throw knives and then just rotates more knives.
And he has a nice satchel. I would wear that.
No bulge, though.
Yeah, it's very concerning.
For a tight pair of pants, yeah, that's...
Maybe he tucks it in and, like...
No, well, just rest. Maybe the sack of shit doesn't know what a dick is.
I would like that soundbite, precisely. Sack of shit doesn't know what a dick is.
On repeat.
That's her ringtone.
That's her ringtone. That's her ringtone. I call her. Thank God I never call.
I want it so much.
Well, you do know editing this.
Being in a public place.
Sack of shit doesn't know dicks.
You're like, I really need to take this.
Even better. It's not important.
Don't worry, it goes to voicemail.
In the middle of a meeting, and you're just like,
not me, not me.
I would call you in meetings all the time.
At church, call you.
At your supper, at your parents. say that he was grown and birthed as an adult.
Yeah.
Like this.
So perhaps he has no need for a dick.
Well, I have no need for him then.
No need to reproduce.
Maybe like X-Men fans remember better than I, but I thought he was like in a relationship with Dazzler or something, maybe.
Whoa! I mean, visually they fit together.
Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense.
I feel like he maybe dated someone in the X-Men.
I feel they would go rollerblading together.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean he has a dick.
No, but can he reproduce himself?
I don't know.
I would say yes.
Grown by the sacks of shit?
I would say yes, because the scientists made the race to be independent.
You're right.
So you can't be dependent on the cloning process of the shitbags.
Hey, that's really going rogue. That scientist just went like, what's the prime directive here? Let's not do that. Like,
that's
the prime directive was give them a spine.
Honestly, like, that's the beauty of being a scientist, though, because you can just be like, just lie. They're not going to check your data and shit.
They don't understand numbers and science.
You could just be like, oh yeah, I'm totally doing that that you want, and just not do it. No one would know.
Look at these gene graphs.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
He was a scientist. Was he...
A sack of shit? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, so sacks of shit have, like, careers and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, his master was a movie producer.
Okay,
I want to see what genre.
Yes,
shitbags.
No.
I can understand why shitbags would want spine.
No, like, it's in the
new star. This guy is a star. He's not a shitbag.
He can't relate to the population.
But not just
shitbag on shitbag.
Oh my god, yeah, that's Romeo and Juliet. Shitbag. But she falls in love with him.
I need to see a reenactment of every single one of those movie productions.
But not just that. It's like, is he just acting with a bunch of the shitbags?
Yeah,
is it all slaves playing the parts, maybe?
Yeah, it'd be all slaves. Hope so, but, like, I wouldn't want to see.
Like, the poor shitbags have to look at movies that will never portray them. How can they connect?
Oh, because the Hollywood people portray me? Fuck that shit.
Well, at least they're not.
I realize I'm the shitbag in this situation.
Imagine
at least they have
a spine. Imagine, like, the boom guy.
Wait, are they like gelatin? Could he like shove the boom mic in his body and it just holds
it? Well, they got skin.
They're like flubber. I decided that they're like
sallow, no, they have skin?
Sallow yellow
skin. Oh, yeah. I'm not on board with that. So that sack is actually their skin. Oh.
I think there's one in issue 8, which is the next one over.
Okay, so. I can't wait.
Woo! Sorry, what's his personality?
Happy-go-lucky.
He's lucky.
And insouciant.
He doesn't look... Look at his face! Yeah, he looks like super mad and like...
No, I think he looks zen.
Oh, no. For some reason, he looks elvish to me.
I know, I was gonna say the same.
It's the cheekbones. I wish he was on a skateboard.
I want him on rollerblades. But I want him out of these terrible boots. Why are they so tight around the ankle?
How about the number of fingers?
Oh, yeah. It doesn't look like it in the picture at all.
They do that on purpose?
You can't see the pinky because
it's not there
isn't one.
Yeah, but that doesn't look like that.
But he does have an opposable thumb.
Yeah, well, it's three fingers. It's just missing one. He's like Mickey Mouse.
Oh!
He's not missing one. He's only missing one.
Three fingers
plus the thumb. Okay.
Like this. The thumb is a finger.
I feel like they probably don't draw it correctly about 80% of the time.
What?
Drawn.
Well, this is drawn. This is the. I think he's been drawn by his creator. Here, so this is probably has the right number. You don't see it.
He could have a pinky there, and you don't see it right now.
Yeah.
I saw you pointing at his penis.
He could have a pinky there. I mean, to be fair, they don't know. They built a humanoid. Maybe that's where the pinky goes. They're like, okay, too many fingers on one hand. That's just silly. Let's just put it where the penis is.
Oh my god, and you have steroids.
Can it like move as much as like a normal?
I just hate the idea of having a nail down there.
Oh no, you have to trim it. You have to trim the nail.
Oh, you paint it?
Is long shot hot or not?
Well, it's a long shot, but I say hot.
I also think hot.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I mean, I would prefer his hair be different, but otherwise, it's a pretty cool character.
It's of
character.
His era. It's really of his era.
He's a pretty cool character, and he sounds fun.
Yeah, I feel like we could go on adventures together, but not like scary ones, just fun adventures. Yeah. And he'd be like, no sweat, no worries, I have a spine.
Well, I could bring him to the casino.
Yeah. To the racetrack. See, I want something else. Like, I'm gonna bring him berry picking, and his luck will get us the juiciest berries in the field.
I thought you were gonna say, like, berry treasure.
No, strawberries.
We're just walking on a beach hoping we find treasure.
It's kind of okay. I can't say really hot because of everything that's going on in the picture, but I don't hate him.
I think it's the same. I don't find him attractive, but his personality is nice.
But you'll never run out of anything to say because he has so much backstory.
I'm friend zoning him.
I wish he was a rock star.
I don't want to meet his parents though.
Oh no.
God.
Unless it's a scientist, because that's cool. That guy's
that,
cool.
That is he in jail now?
I can spineless jail?
I think he was eventually killed.
Wrong.
If you've got a mentor, he's got to die.
Aww. But like, did they realize what he did? The shitbags?
I think so. I think
okay. I mean, he like left, so.
He led a rebellion, so yeah.
It seemed like that was that experiment.
Yeah, failed.
Maybe he tried to lie his tail out of it. It was like, oh, whoops.
I don't know how that happened.
Oh. Look at this DNA graph.
Look at this graph.
I was trying to give him strength and boop.
Oh,
character.
No.
Oh.
That decimal point. Damn it.
Yeah. I wanted dependence, not independence.
Darn.
Auto-corrected the DNA. Yes, we're lovers.
Lord Chaos.
It's a beautiful name.
One of those entities that represents a concept. It's pretty clear what Lord Chaos represents. It works in tandem with Master Order, which we'll see later, but the two of them apparently engineered Spider-Man's origin so that one day Spidey would help defeat Thanos.
Believe it or not.
Chaos and Order apparently work together, not against one another, to ensure the continuance of the universe and describe their enemy as Death. In their relationship, Chaos is the questioner because it is the force of uncertainty. In any case, it works through agents or by giving people hunches and instincts to do random things that turn out to have an impact.
I always love a little chaos.
You can't help
this
it.
This is a little chaos. Yeah. I love it.
Yes, he's in charge of this.
Yeah.
He's
our god. Or lord.
I love it. I love the concept. And I love that the enemy is Death, which is just no progression.
Yeah.
Mm. I like that there's the order and the chaos work together. Because just chaos doesn't work. And just order doesn't work. Because you don't go anywhere with either of them. I love that. I like him. I don't know if I would date him.
I think that would be difficult.
Yeah. How do you date chaos?
Yeah. Oh, with a face like that.
I mostly mean, like, how do I know what to wear? Like, you will never bring me on a non-chaotic date. I could be windsurfing one minute and then having tea with the queen the next.
I mean, that sounds pretty cool.
Yes, I would go but if day. I haven't planned for it...
You're not wearing a swimsuit or a gown.
I don't have tights.
Or you're wearing, like, a swimsuit with the queen and a full gown windsurfing.
I think I would prefer a bikini with the queen.
I think she'd understand.
Yeah, she'd probably laugh.
I suppose they're saying that, you know, when there's a weird coincidence in a comic book, it's Lord Chaos is doing.
Is this how they explain, like, mistakes in continuity?
No. I haven't seen that, but the thing with the Spider-Man thing, okay, well, Spider-Man, the same guy he didn't stop is the guy that winds up killing his Uncle Ben.
Okay, yeah.
That's a massive coincidence.
Okay.
I have a question, though. Does he, like, control that stuff, or he's just, like, the force that makes those things happen?
Like, is there a will?
It's happening because he exists.
But he's not like, oh, I'm gonna make that dude kill Uncle Ben.
Apparently they did, because they needed a Spider-Man as a hero to eventually do a thing that was a step in the process of destroying Thanos.
Do they see in the future?
That's what they were told.
They must be like Doctor Strange. That's what he's called, right? Yes. Oh my god, I was like, is he a doctor? Was it a doctor?
Professor Strange.
Master Strange.
Master Strange.
To be fair, all those things could be real.
And yeah, it's Mr. Strange.
You know, Mr. Strange! When he's just, like, seeing, like, different versions, like, different possibilities, that's how I'm picturing it. Like,
maybe that's why he has to work with order, because seeing the order in chaos, that expression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Is he a mask, or is he, like...
He's a face in the sky. He's a cosmic face in the sky.
His face actually kind of reminds me of, like, old-school Disney stuff. Like, kind of like the face in the mirror.
Yeah. Mm.
Or, like, if you went to, like, Haunted Mansion, I feel like...
The demon. In Fantasia, too.
Yeah, like it feels like old Disney to me.
It also like reminds me of the theater mask.
Yeah,
yeah. So I wonder if when we meet with Master Order, if it's going to be more like smiley to make the contrast, and if so, then boo.
Oh my god! I was so ready for you to be like, that would be really cool.
No, it's just like, come on, be more original.
The sky will be blue with the sun. Looks like a bit of like Teletubbies.
No. Master Order will be very easy to comprehend. He'll be like a person at a desk. No. With a pristine room.
It's exactly the same image, except his face is a little bit more pink.
Well, we'll find out.
I would like that.
I do like that you can, like, see the stars through him.
And that the eyes, like, pupils seems to be stars as well.
Mm-hmm. Terrifying.
It's cool.
Is Lord Chaos hot or not?
I mean, I like it hot.
Yeah. Even though that's a bit absurd.
In the universe, we need hot people, and we need not people.
We need not people.
I mean, as chaos. Not people, not people and such as
sexes. And he is not a person. That is true.
Are you saying that the like the force of not and the force of hot completes itself by coexisting?
I think that without him existing, there is no hot in the world.
Oh, well, so it's complete chaos finding someone hot.
Now I'm lost.
No, it's just like a happenstance, because it's just like a roll of the die combination of features and personality. Well, to find
someone that matches with you, definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that you find attractive.
Yeah. So like, what are the chances that you find someone attractive and they also find you attractive?
Yeah, that's great luck.
I don't think that's a problem attractive people have.
Yes, but what about the sacks of shit?
Sacks of shit. Settle. Sacks of shit settle. I don't even know if they have females. I don't remember a female sack of shit from the... Or a shit bag. I mean, we're, sack of shit is something else.
You know what? I'll take that as a compliment.
Chaos. Rain.
This is what Loki for you guys was for teenage Siskoid. Okay. Lorelei, the younger sister of the Enchantress. She's an Asgardian sorceress and seductress, and I guess who you bring in when the Enchantress isn't available. But she's less interested in learning magic than her big sister, unless it's specifically to help with love magic. Loki once threw her at Thor, who distractedly fell in love with her thanks to a helpful potion, for example. But Lorelei had the hots for Thor anyway, so she was happy to go with it. In fact, Thor thought he was in love with a mortal woman called Melody, which Lorelei was posing as. Jealous, the Enchantress pulled a trick on her sister to make her fall in love with Loki, hoping such a relationship would destroy her. The various spells were eventually broken, but not before Thor's heart was broken. Aww. And Loki grew tired of Lorelei and threw her away. She is a young goddess who doesn't take things very seriously, including the possible destruction of Asgard. Her major goal was to become romantically involved with a handsome god of high rank, and she will use her deviousness and cunning to get what she wants. She's also pictured casting a spell. Look.
Okay, you keep saying that Loki throws her, and I'm just picturing the get help scene, but it's Loki throwing her at
the... Yeah.
And it's so funny to me. He pictures the girl, and Thor is like, oh god, I'm in love. What is this? Distractingly falls in love with her.
He distractedly.
Distractedly.
So then suddenly he falls in love with her, and now he's not looking what Loki's doing. That was the whole point.
Oh, so he's not. She's a just decoy. Like, oops.
Yeah, there's a girl falling on me. Whoops, I'm falling for
her. I tripped over my heart.
I mean, she's really hot.
She is.
Also, I love that name. I've always liked that name.
Yeah. I didn't know how to pronounce it as a kid.
Isn't that...
From Gilmore Girls?
Yeah, Gilmore Girls. Yeah.
Mom, legally it's Lorelei, but she names her Rory.
Okay, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's a lot of trivia.
Anyways. I love this show.
It's also the name of the mermaid in Beach Blanket Bingo.
Yes.
My question is, her eyes are blue-green. Is it like a blue-green color, or is one blue and one green?
No, it's a...
Okay.
It's like a combo.
Turquoise. Hmm.
I can't decide if I like her dress or if I think it's ridiculous.
It's both.
I think
it's ridiculous, but I love it.
I think it has good elements, and some elements are trash.
It's the fringe I don't love.
And the hip plates, again. What is this? What are the hip thigh plates? Ugly.
I think it's very campy, and it fits the fact that she's young. Mm. She's just taking fashion risks. She's like, well, whatever, I don't care. I got fringe, I'm having fun.
It's okay, the metal plate keeps it down. It's so that when, you know, she flies around as a god, I don't know if she flies.
You don't expect an Asgardian god to have a choker.
Well, if you hadn't told us the backstory, and you had asked us, like, where is she in the... I would have... Never. Like, Asgard would have been, like, one of the last things I would have thought of. Like, she does not exude even that at all.
Even the shoes, I'm like...
Yeah, the shoes in particular don't fit. Like, I get that it's kind of, like, I don't know, Roman, but that doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, either. I would have said, like, oh, is she like a Greek mermaid?
I think this is kind of this big chastity thing is...
Yeah.
It's a bit Norse or Celtic.
That is. You know, maybe it connects between the legs, so it really claps.
This, the cleavage is totally Asgardian. Like, those circles kind of look like those big...
Oh, I thought you meant the boobs. Over there.
Those are some Asgard boobs over there.
Classic ass.
I do really like the choker.
Yeah.
I would like just wear that. This seems like something someone could cosplay. I don't think I've ever seen that, but it seems like, you know, sometimes it's like doable. Okay, that would be really impossible or really, really difficult. You'd have to really work at it. But no. This someone could do.
Her face reminds me of Jessica Rabbit. So especially the lips. They're so full. Like, holy crap.
She's just like clearly like exudes sultry.
Yeah, like, I feel like she'd be my cousin that wants to go to the club all the time, but, like, that just takes all the attention away. Yeah. And she's like, I don't even try! Oops!
Yeah.
Come definitely. On, there's gonna be a lot of hot guys over there!
Yeah, well, they don't go for shitbags. And they're very self-deprecating moves.
Come on, I heard Chaos was gonna be there.
He's a god of high rank.
Oh my god.
Literally, yes.
I like the way the fabric clings to the belt.
Yeah, that's actually like really accurate. Like, I like that it actually bunches up a little bit. It's like a good detail.
I still can't. All right,
she's Asgardian. I was like, what? She's 320 pounds?
Yeah, she's tall as hell.
But Loki's 500 some.
So. Yeah, no, it's Asgardians.
Is she tall?
Like 5'5".
She's just 5'5"?
She looks way taller than that.
She has like 3 inches heels.
I know, but her long legs there.
This is like a you know, singer with Colombian...
Shakira.
Well, 5'5".
There is a Shakira vibe.
She still feels like 6 feet
early
tall.
Shakira.
Yeah. I feel like Shakira could like dance with those fringes.
Yes.
Very good for belly dancing.
But I do agree that she looks like, I don't know, 6'1".
I would have guessed at least
it's 6 feet. The legs. The legs are so freaking long.
It's the fashionistaness of it too.
But even the arm, like the arm is making it look longer.
Yeah.
Like, it's very model-esque.
Yeah, that posture.
Mm. And she's smizing too.
Yeah, her hair is great.
I am jealous.
I feel like her cleavage is dangerously close to like her nipples on that boob in particular.
Yeah, there's some boob slippage possibility.
I guess she's double-sided lifting tape. Her arm, so maybe.
Yeah.
Is Lorelai hot or not?
Yeah, she's definitely hot.
I mean, objectively, she's hot. I do not want to hang out with her.
No, neither do I.
Because I am far too old.
To go clubbing?
I was gonna add something, but no,
that's it. I feel this like her driving force is having fun, and I'm not there in my life.
There are some women that, like, can be hard to be friends with other women. Mm-hmm. And that's, like,
and
obviously
you think
not
the
their
goddess
fault.
Of seduction would be one of them.
It's not obviously their fault. Like, it's just because of our society, the way it's made, and, like, that we're meant to fight against each other. We're put it against, you know? And I just feel like she might be, like, difficult to hang out with.
I mean,
like, a group of... Imagine us, like, at a sleepover with this person.
I don't think she does sleepover. It's not...
Oh, she does sleepover.
I'm conflicted because she's gorgeous. Like, I would be seduced by her, but she would not even look at me.
To be fair, you're not a high place god either.
Exactly. And then I'm like, okay, sure, I can date her. But so maybe I can be like her friend. But then we would compete for Loki and she would win. So fuck her.
Yeah. Then Loki would get tired and throw her.
But are we projecting? Is she actually nice? Or is she... Because right now I'm picturing her like get in, loser, we're going shopping.
Yeah,
like, that's what I'm picturing.
She definitely feels like...
Oh, she's a mean girl.
I mean, she's a villain.
She's a villain?
Technically
so she's a mean girl.
I imagine her very... For Regina from Mean Girls.
Yes.
But a little bit of like very dumb.
On Wednesdays we wear fringe.
I'm wondering if, because she's the goddess of seduction or whatever, maybe that also works for, like, people think she's super cool. Like, because we're all...
Seduces us.
Yeah, there'd be a seduction there, too, where you'd also fall into the web of, oh, you're just so fun, you know? Or, like, oh, you're clearly not doing it on purpose. You're a great person.
I think you would at least have the vibe of, oh, I wish I was her friend. Maybe. Like, where it's like, oh, I wish I was cool enough to be her friend. I think at least you would feel that for most people. Which, sucks. That's not a fun vibe to have. Like,
it sucks for her and it sucks for everyone else.
Yeah, it's not a good time for anybody. I hope she has at least one great female friend. Does she? Do we ever see her with a female friend?
Another goddess that's like...
Melody had a roommate, maybe?
No, that's nice.
Is she close with her sister?
Oh, that's like the human...
No, her sister's a total bitch.
I don't remember. Well, they're kin bitch together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, as the story went, Enchantress gave her a love potion so that she'd fall in love with Loki to screw her up. So,
yeah,
I mean, while she's in a relationship with Thor.
I mean, sisters do mean things.
Yeah. But she had a roommate. That's nice.
I think so.
Hopefully they got along.
It's been a while.
I find that hilarious that gods have roommates.
When she was pretending to be
human, yeah.
She wouldn't clean after herself.
Oh, she would not be a good roommate, probably. No.
No.
If I had to guess.
She'd be like, why didn't you do the dishes?
And she would arrive at like 3 a.m. with different guys every night.
The makeup station and hair station must be an absolute disaster.
Yeah.
You know what I want?
Fringe.
I'd like to see her old.
I bet she would look basically like this.
Well,
but with gray hair and
white.
That would be awesome.
Here's what I think she looks like looking at her face right now. Blondie. Deborah Harry.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay,
so we know what she looks like.
Older.
Later.
Yeah.
Same. She looks the same. Also, gods. They don't.
Don't really age.
They don't really age.
One way.
Machine Man.
Uh-huh.
Machine Man.
Not my favorite image. Not my favorite image of Machine Man, but okay. He's a sentient robot created by a top secret government project to be a robot soldier. The lead scientist took X-51 into his home and treated him as his own son, figuring that to make a thinking machine, you needed to treat it like a person. The other 50 robots, X-1 through 50, were developing personality defects, but not X-51, thanks to the tender, loving care of his father. Eventually, most of the robots suffered nervous breakdowns and the project was scrapped. And they all had auto-destruct devices, so it was easy to dispose of them. But Science Dad removed it from his mechanical son, and it exploded in his hands, killing him. The orphaned Machine Man took on a human identity as Aaron Stack to fulfill his father's dream of integrating with humanity, using his robotic abilities as a superhero on the side. Machine Man could fly, stretch his limbs, shoot heat, cold, and electricity through his hands, fire bullets from his index finger, and was powered by solar energy. 40 hours in complete darkness, and he could be forced to shut down. Machine Man is a joker, quippy, witty, and insulting the way Spider-Man is. But he has a serious side contemplating the place of machines in society. In the 2000s, his humor became more and more sarcastic, called people fleshy ones and such. By that point, he prefers to be just called Aaron. He's proud of being an AI to the point of self-importance, but he's also attracted to human women and beer for some reason. He's pictured fighting Jack-O-Lantern, his head deconstructed, standing in a fire with tricycle wheels added on, getting slammed by a wrecking ball and punching through some kind of fluid. On the last page are diagrams of his basic systems, his head, and his arm.
So, from what I've gathered, he's Inspector Gadget.
And the stretchy arms.
Even the
yes.
hands. Like the bullets coming out. Like, he's Inspector Gadget. Where's the claw? Where's the cat?
Most importantly, where's the cat?
That hanging hand bothers me so much.
Is it always like that?
No. It's just showing the power.
Yeah.
Imagine that it was just that long.
It feels like when your seatbelt won't go back.
Oh,
and
then you're
just like... Cook. Hanging, and it's way too long.
Oh my lord, look at the length of his arm, though. Like, it goes almost to his knee.
He has a very short torso.
Yeah.
I haven't seen, like, that baggy crotch waist situation for a bit.
Yeah. You mean the diaper?
Baldlessness.
Yeah. But, like, on a robot.
Does he have,
why does a robot need a diaper?
Does he have, like, a robo-penis?
Yeah, he has oil leaks.
He likes
robo-bulge.
He works in an insurance company.
During the day?
Investigator.
Oh, God.
As Aaron Stack.
What a boring life he chose.
Of all integrating things. With humanity.
I know, but I don't know.
I'm gonna go baseline human. Yeah, so they knew they need insurance in case they die.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't know. I do something more fun. Maybe that's different from me to him, but I'd be like, I don't know.
I mean, you can get places really fast with this tricycle thing going on. Why it's going through his freaking ankles. Yeah, what is this?
He's not riding it. It's integrated.
Him. It's him. Why? You can only imagine that the third wheel is coming out of his anus.
Why is he not delivering pizza then? You're right. That's fun.
Yeah, do that. Because he looked at people and was like, all these fleshy flesh people over here.
Oh, yes. That's
y'all
funny.
Y'all need insurance.
You guys are flesh.
You break so easy.
I could hurt you very easily.
And you would not have insurance.
I could hurt you very easily.
You need to
please get insurance.
You need to sleep 8 hours a day. The cold hurts you. The warmth hurts you. Your bones break. My God, insurance is clearly what you need.
Have you thought of car insurance?
When he is his insurance person,
Aaron Stein.
That's the only thing I'm interested in.
Eric Stein. Does he look like a robot? Do we know?
He has a human skin
seal?
Suit.
Like a neck.
He's a skin suit! No!
I don't know. He's got a costume. He's got a mask.
I hope he calls it his business suit.
He's got a mask. In the 2000s, when I was describing his, like, he doesn't have that headgear. He's got, like, hair.
So his coworkers don't know he's a robot.
I wonder if any
of my coworkers are robots.
All of mine are robots.
I think we've worked with many robots. In our lives.
I wish I had more robots at my place.
This one is emotionally stable.
But only one out of 51 robots are, so.
So did they stop at 51?
Yeah.
That's an odd number to stop at.
Yes. Well, when you've got 49 that have had a nervous breakdown,
no,
you're like
50.
But you make one more and then you go, we gotta stop.
We got one more try.
Wasn't it simultaneous?
I don't know. No, probably wasn't. Because usually those serial numbers are like, I build it first. Eventually
like
they went, but.
This guy wasn't late. Okay, the first 50 didn't work out. Let's see what I can do different with this dude.
I think the first 50 were still like operational and all that, but.
They had defects.
The scientist, Professor Stack, thought,
is it?
No. If it's gonna work, we need to do this. But nobody else was listening to him, so he brought his project home. Nobody knew.
Did he have unmet desire to father children?
This whole episode is just science people not following the rules.
That's what most comics are.
Yeah. Dr. Stack, when he removed the firing mechanism to save him from being destroyed,
yes.
It killed him.
Yes.
Because in comics, you can't be happy.
No.
That was mental.
Joy is not allowed.
You gotta be an orphan.
Yeah. I kinda like that.
I'm calling your parents right now.
Not in that sense. In the sense that, you know, what made him more human is having a family relationship. And now he doesn't have that. But he's stuck being human, so it hurts him more than if he didn't have it in the first place. It's very poetic.
And that's what you like, that he hurts more?
No, but it's like, there's
the aesthetic.
Yeah, there's a poetic
sadness
to it. It's like Catch-22.
Also, on the hand diagram, what is it? TV picker? Picking? Pick up?
Pick up.
What is that? Is it an antenna?
It's to pick up TV transmissions.
And he has a television image sensor on the same finger.
It just helps you to move your TV when you're moving.
It's a remote control. It just goes like this to change the channel.
It means you can watch TV. Just
like in his brain?
Yeah.
Oh, God, gross. I don't want my eyes.
I feel like
he was born in the 70s, so how many channels were there? You know, whatever.
Tongue positioning, motor group comes. It's just so weird.
I'm always very impressed.
Food passage.
I have a.
He needs food?
No, but maybe
oil.
Just pretend he's alive.
We know he drinks beer, so.
We've seen a lot of these graphs. Do you ever actually see this? Or is it like when they made these books, they're like, okay, I guess we'll figure out what would be in there.
A lot of these graphs come from the first edition of Marvel Universe, where at the end, because they didn't have the pictures. They only had, like, the original Marvel Universe has the character, and there's hardly ever any other pictures. So at the end, they published, after their Book of the Dead, they did an equipment kind of issue. And all it is graphs of stuff.
How can I get my hands on that?
I feel like...
It's all these graphics. So a lot of these are repeats.
What a funny job. You're like, oh yeah, he watches television, so I guess we gotta include that.
Can I explain what a eardrum is on a robot? It is an acoustic pickups, analyzers, and digitizers, clearly. Huh. And then, Uvula.
They didn't even bother changing the names. Shit, I need to give that in like 2 minutes.
That sounds odd enough.
I bet half of this is just because nerds were really annoying about it.
Yes, probably.
Just like, well, how is it possible that this is happening? It's just like, well, he's got a thing in his arm. Okay?
Back off.
Nerds aren't annoying.
Aren't they?
Yeah. I'm annoying. I'm a nerd.
I'm annoying as well.
This world very annoying.
Is Machine Man hot or not?
No.
I have a question. It's more of a comment. Not.
A big nod for me.
I don't know.
I like the outfit. I don't like the head part. Does he have eyeshadow right now, or is this the angle?
I think it's
red eyes.
Red eyes.
Yeah, red eyes, and then they're blue here. And
I'm a little bit too far. He's got red eyes.
Well, there.
Well, we can fix that in post.
Don't you love looking into his eyes, all romantic? Red. There's love and passion.
Red photoelectric eyes.
I'm a little bit charmed. But he's funny, and he's witty, and he's charming.
Yeah, he likes beer and shit. Like, he sounds amusing to me. I'd love to work with him at the insurance company.
Yeah, I bet he's a blast at holiday parties. I believe that.
And he's
that.
Attracted to, you know, human women, so there could be a dating happening.
I would ride his, you know, on his back here on the tricycle. What kind of lover are you into? Well, I'm looking for a human woman.
I feel like that's what a lot of people think.
If his hand does this.
Does his dick?
I was gonna ask about his foot, but okay. Yank it, and then it zoop, and then yank
like
it.
Oh my god, like, oh yes.
And if his other appendages would do that too, I'd do that all night, man.
Well, you know what? Recently I had a hard time putting my tree topper on my tree, and like, this would be real practical now.
Yeah.
You never need a ladder.
No, and I'm scared of being on ladders, like even a step. I'm terrified, so that's really cool.
I can go live with you. I'm not scared of ladders. But also, how long can his arms go? How many feet?
And where does it go after? Is it retract inside? Is that in the graph?
It's like a sort of accordion.
I was gonna say, it rolls up like a vacuum.
There's so many powers and stuff. Oh my god.
While we're looking that up, I just to say that, like, the panel where everything's on fire, what the fuck?
It's a bad time.
Like, what is his face? What? Everything is bad.
He's like, oh shit, what did I do?
Like, what? What's happening?
I don't know. He looks like he's swearing vengeance, so who knows? It may be when his dad's bomb blew up.
Aww.
Oh no. That's horrible.
Oh no! In this future timeline, Machine Man remains buried until 2020. Stay buried.
Oh,
Jesus, please.
That's the miniseries where he wakes up in the future, or relative future, and he fights Iron Man 2020.
You know what? I'd watch a thing with this guy.
Yeah. Agreed.
Like a
mini-series
or something?
Yeah.
All right, Disney Plus. You didn't announce enough. Not enough series, Disney
Give it
Plus.
A year, man. Give it a year.
Oh, you really missed by not taking it out in 2020, though.
Let's do Machine Man. I like a machine.
So it's a hot from you, man. Yeah.
The first time I ever met Machine Man, he was drawn by Barry Windsor Smith. It's like, this is one of the covers.
Yep.
And each cover had, like, it really decomposed, and the more every issue, it became more his face.
Oh, interesting.
It was like issue 2 or something. I mean, that really, like, slick art in that, so I thought Machine Man looked cool.
Yeah, he's okay.
I
still give him a hot.
Like, I think it's interesting. I like him.
Whenever I think of you, my mind blows up you. Baby, when I look in Art credits: Loki by Walt Simonson, Longshot by Art Adams, Lord Chaos by Vince Argondesi, Lorelei by Walt Simonson, Machine Man by Steve Ditko.
Star Trek. Comic books. Mythology. Video games. Toys. Star Wars. Just about any geeky topic you can think of could be covered on the Hammer Podcast, presented by two true freaks. Come join me, Gene Hendricks, for whatever my disjointed mental processes can come up with. And be careful, or you might just learn something before we're done. The Hammer Podcast is available monthly, both on its own iTunes feed and at twotruefreaks.com.
Female bag! Woo! We're talking about episode 64, The Lizard, Lyra, Lockheed, and Lockjaw. But before we head into specific entries, our few messages of interest. Mike Dana says it was great to hear the ladies squee on some of these entries. Those squees always brighten up my day.
I'm sure the one I made at the beginning of this episode did brighten your day.
I also was not expecting the horny toad knowledge, but I'm glad I learned it.
The more you know.
Rick from Unpacking the Power of Power Pack podcast enjoys the show in part because Marvel Universe Deluxe was his entry into Marvel history, and he imagines the recording of this show looks like a role-playing game session where Siskoid is sort of hiding behind a Game Master screen.
It's not wrong.
Really, that's what kind of it is. And new commenter Degzy says, after 5 weeks since discovering this amazing podcast, I finally caught up with all the episodes.
Welcome.
That's incredible.
What else did you do? Did you eat? Did you sleep?
He explains, he says, working fully from home as a customer service rep for my company, I have fought the social isolation by rigging my phone to play my podcasts in between calls. And I have thoroughly enjoyed both the trip down memory lane to this series and the Marvel Universe decades before the movies, and how Siskoid and his intrepid band of commenteers see them.
Like, as soon as the call finished, the podcast starts? If so, I need this.
This technology.
Yes. This technology, because I am also a suffering customer service rep.
He says, my only gripe is now that since I've caught up, I have to wait patiently for the subsequent episodes with all the other mortals. Fortunately, I know that the best things in life take time. Looking forward to pestering you with more responses in the future.
Oh, I really hope we keep you as a listener.
Thank you. And is he a robot?
Because we are mortal.
Masquerading as a customer service person.
Hold on.
And an insurance company. Yeah. The timing is perfect.
It's 2020. No.
Oh, no.
Let's talk about the lizard. Brian Linton says, wait a second. I don't wear a lab coat, and I've never been adversely affected by an experiment gone horribly awry. Does that mean I'm not really a scientist?
No. Yes.
Have I been living a lie my entire career?
Yes. Probably.
I think I might be experiencing a midlife crisis.
Yes. You know what's funny? I've been re-listening to our episodes, and I'm at the episode where everyone got their lives shattered. So there was the hashtag, my life changed when. So this is your life-changing event.
And now I'm going to buy a sports car and start performing recklessly ill-advised experiments on myself.
Excellent.
Good luck.
Great.
Let us know how that goes. Mm-hmm.
Send us a picture of the car.
And let us know when you get into this entry so we can review you.
Tim Price says, my first truly scary Spider-Man foe, due to Steve Ditko's original story. He just didn't look right, with the green scales and a face that doesn't have a lizard snout. Like, it used to be like just like a flat face.
Oh. Sort of like where he's falling here, could it be?
Oh, yeah.
Almost like an alien.
Yeah. Well, that's horrifying.
It's more like a small, stubby nose.
You're right.
He says, oddly, changing him to have a snout makes him look more acceptable, as though being a giant reptile is less jarring than being stuck between human and reptile.
I agree.
Yeah. That's Uncanny Valley territory.
Yeah,
because I'm digging this lab coat lizard.
Yeah, great. He looks like he's like some... Yeah!
Dr. Ange says, as a physician, there is a lot of internal debate on whether to wear a white coat or not. Some docs think it is pretentious. I wear one, but mostly I need the pockets for pen lights, trauma shears, etc. Trauma shears. It says he does make me think that I could low-key cosplay Dr. Connor if I needed to. Glad he was viewed favorably. Then Captain Entropy says, one more crazy characteristic about that catch we call Cool Cat Kirk Connors. Even when he's all scaly and wants to wipe out the human race, he's still protective of his son, Billy. I love that. And then Chris Franklin and Lizanne Oswald reminded us that in darker times, like 10 years ago, some writer had the lizard eat his wife and Billy.
Ah! Boo.
Oh! Terrible. Terrible.
Do real lizards eat their wives and sons?
I don't think they get married.
I mean, if a lot of animals are hungry enough, will, depending on the size, will eat their own children.
But...
Sorry, guys.
But, yeah, no, it's just...
Nature.
Grim, dark bullshit.
Nature That's is not cool, writers.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to Lyra. Gene Hendricks, who's going to be busy commenting on this episode, says, underwater clothing in comics that isn't airtight has never made any sense to me. Even if it was made of wetsuit material, it would still get in the way at some point. Maybe not minimalist like Namor, but definitely no robes or capes. Mike W. says, I love how the consensus on Lyra was that she's hot, but kind of a bitch. In the early 90s Namor comic, Lyra used her illusion power to convince Namor she was Sue Richards so she could fuck him and get pregnant, which is basically rape by coercion. So yeah, she's totally a bitch. More of her sex crimes, according to Brian Linton. My first encounter with Lyra was a story in the 90s where she tricked Namor into fathering a son with her. I mean, it's the same crime. Eventually, that son returned to confront the Submariner. It was all very Arthurian.
Yeah, you say. Whew.
Oh, and Temperance says, I first saw Lyra in Amazing Spider-Man, where he and Namor fought the Frightful Four, which had just recruited her. The twist is, she sometimes disguised herself as human and lived in Peter Parker's apartment building.
I thought you were going to say apartment. I was like, whoa!
Since this was the beginning of my Spider-Man collecting, my mind insists she's a bigger deal than she really is. But that's, like, Spider-Man was, like, roommates with Captain Britain at some point. And what? It's like, who else was in this building?
I feel like some celebrities have been roommates with everyone. Or, like, some people have been roommates
Kevin
with everyone.
Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
It's just like one of those people that, like, who haven't you lived with?
Yeah, me.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yes.
Who haven't you lived with, Mike?
So many celebrities.
Well, I live in the same house as three of you, so.
And everyone knows we're celebrities.
Yeah.
What else? That's it. Lockheed. Let's talk about Lockheed. Rob Kelly complains.
Period.
Yes, but about this specific podcast, he says, the squeals over Lockheed crack my iPhone screen. Totally controversial.
I really hope you didn't listen to this one, then.
Kurt Onstad says, thank you for the squee warning on Lockheed. No big surprise that the girls love him. He is quite adorable. Brian Linton agrees. If he hadn't gotten the hot, I might have had to burn my unofficial Ohotmu fan club membership card, which I made all by myself using construction paper, magic markers, a glue stick, and glitter.
I want to see it.
Yeah.
Yes, please send us a picture.
To be fair, if we actually made real ones, they would also be made.
Our Valentine's were basically done with this.
Yeah. Boston Ma says, if y'all are interested, a version of Lockheed makes an appearance in the New Mutants movie, and we did see the picture. They're going to force me to watch this New Mutants movie for Lockheed. Yeah.
I intend to watch it as well, just for that.
Yeah, eventually. Chad L. remembers a comic where a young knight on an alternate Earth saw Lockheed standing guard by an unconscious kitty and decided... Kitty Pride, not a cat. And decided that he would rescue the fair maiden from the dragon.
Aww.
The knight, of course, did not fare very well against a stream of dragon fire. Chris Franklin says, I'm glad the ladies brought up Figment. Looks like Lockheed debuted a year before Figment's Journey into Imagination ride opened at Epcot. But the development was probably parallel. The point is moot now since Disney owns both of them. Hmm. And Figment actually got a Marvel comic along with his original companion, the Dreamfinder, a few years back. My kids bought a few copies in the ride's gift shop. And Bradley Null says, Lockheed and Lockjaw are two of my favorites. I'm a sucker for animal sidekicks. So let's get into the Lockjaw controversy. Both Zachary Finkenstein and Kurt Onstad said Lockjaw being a regular inhuman was retconned out years ago as a practical joke played on the Thing by a couple of members of the royal family, and he may be the only one who ever heard or thought he heard Lockjaw speak. He's been a regular old doggy evolved by Terrigen for years now, hence him being Ms. Marvel's pet and on the Pet Avengers. And in his fairly recent miniseries, we see other members of his litter. Mike W. tracks it to Peter David's run on X-Factor in the early 90s, where Quicksilver mentions that practical joke on Ben Grimm to Madrox, who's trying to get Lockjaw to talk. Quicksilver also points out how patronizing it would be for the Inhumans to treat Lockjaw like a dog, which they always did, if he was really a deformed Inhuman. But hold on.
This is so complicated!
It gets worse.
Comics!
It gets worse. Ooh. It gets worse. Green Luthor has all the skinny and a different opinion. He says, retconning Lockjaw wasn't Peter David's decision. It was an editorial edict forced on him. So he claims he made the retcon completely ridiculous so that one could choose to believe Quicksilver was lying to Madrox about Lockjaw talking about it being a prank. Because the idea that the Inhumans were pranking Ben is really ludicrous. Listen, that time Lockjaw was seen speaking, Lockjaw talks to convince Quicksilver not to expose his and Crystal's daughter Luna to Terrigen Mists. Luna was born a normal human, which Quicksilver had trouble accepting, so he figured giving her inhuman abilities was the next best thing to her being a mutant. It was Lockjaw speaking, and the idea that he was himself a normal human before Terrigenesis, that convinced Quicksilver that Terrigenesis could really be worse for Luna than being normal. With that context, the idea that it was all a prank simply makes no sense, especially since Quicksilver doesn't say he was involved in the prank, just Karnak and Gorgon, and that the prank would really have been aimed at him, not Ben, unless the entire idea of exposing Luna to Terrigen was part of the prank, in which case it would have required Crystal and Black Bolt, among others, to be a part of it, which, come on, Black Bolt playing pranks. And most of the explicit examples of the Inhumans treating Lockjaw as a pet were more after the retcon, kind of like Marvel was trying to justify it after the fact. Earlier stories didn't treat Lockjaw as a person in dog form, but they also didn't treat him not that way. There was enough room there for John Byrne to justify the Lockjaw was a human idea, at the very least.
Sorry, I'm ordering pizza. Does anyone else want
This is more for the listeners than for you guys.
Does he talk or does he not? Yes or no? I'm good with this.
Well, wow. Boston Moss says he was unaware of the retcon and thinks it's a bummer. God. He thinks it's a bummer. He says, I remember reading the story revealing Lockjaw as an Inhuman when it came out. It really worked well for the story and suddenly turned a convenient plot device used in the background into a character I suddenly cared about. And I agree, it's a superior notion. Nick Alheim agrees with the retcon. It was an abominable idea built around the idea of keeping Luna out of the Terrigen for fear she would become a monster. And, let's see, who else? Eric!
Wait!
What?
I'll take a 12-inch pizza.
These garlic fingers, too.
Yeah, garlic fingers, too. Certainly.
At the time these books came out, Bob Budiansky, who drew the Lockjaw entry, had a thick mustache, and there were several in-jokes in Marvel's editorial pages about his resemblance to Lockjaw. The promotional series, Marvel Age, even had a calendar with the birthdays of Marvel staffers. The date of Budiansky's birthday featured a caricature of him saying, I do not look like Lockjaw, followed by another date having a cartoon of Lockjaw proclaiming, I do not look like Bob Budiansky.
That's funny.
I like that.
Ryan Daly says, by the time you all got to Lockheed, I was certain the episode would be all hots across the board. And then what happens? I don't like that breed of dog. Are you kidding me? A lot of listeners were actually shocked that you guys didn't give a wholehearted hot to Lockjaw given your predilection for animal characters. So Tim Price asks, would the ladies give him a hot if they'd known, or thought, I guess, he was a superpowered dog rather than a human turned into a dog?
I do.
Is he cuter if he's just a dog and there's none of that baggage?
Yes. I think that would have been very different. Like, if you presented us, like, this is just a fun giant dog that hangs out with them. It would have been a lot more different than
It's Clifford, you know, but not the same breed and not like, red.
And it would have been different. I still don't love this dog breed, but it would change. I would have probably just gone hot.
There's an extra sadness.
Yeah. Yes. There's discomfort, too, where it's like, you're cute like a dog, but you're not a dog, and I feel bad finding you cute as a dog when you're not a dog.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah?
So if he's just a big dog, sure.
Okay.
I think it's the backstory that
the backstory really made it sad.
But physically, this breed is not hot.
Okay. It's a little fleshy.
Okay, yeah.
They're always kind of wrinkly. Yeah. I like them. I like dogs just, in general.
I still like his mustache. His mustache is the superior element.
I do love
the Bob Booty
is. I feel like he's... I like the eye... Not eyebrows, but like the top... The top. Because our dog used to move her eyebrows like this all the time. It was very cute.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like even for... I know that this kind of breed of dog has smaller ears. I still feel like with the size of the dog, it should be bigger.
It's very
it's pretty tiny.
Oh my god, it's so small.
The same size as his tail.
That is not the same size as his tail.
Yeah. Look at this one. It's just
his ears are like this big and his head is like this big.
His teeth are very human-like.
Yeah, yeah. It looks very human.
Because he's a human who's turned into a dog by Courage and Mist. Yeah. I'll die on that hill.
That's unclear.
It's a good... He's got
it is, I was very much prepared. When we started this one, I was like, okay, I'm gonna be like, yeah, this totally, like, you guys' perspective totally changed my mind. And then the more you went on, I'm like, oh no, I don't know which one is true. I don't know what to think anymore.
What I know is Loki's on the next page.
Yeah, fair.
So guys, we are officially at the halfway point to the end of the Book of the Living.
Wow.
So, in other words, it's going to take us another 65 episodes to finish the Book of the Living.
So 65 months.
How many people are dead?
You mean started listening?
I think we will be by the time we get
there. In the Book of the Dead.
14 issue at least? How many?
What?
No, not...
No?
I think it's like 14 issues of the Living.
Okay.
And then there's another 5 of the Dead.
Okay.
That's still a lot.
19. Yes.
And then there's another bunch that are like...
That's the beauty of this podcast. We can do it for the rest of time.
Well, for the rest of our natural lives.
Forever. No. We're getting a Ouija board.
I have a feeling that if I die, like, who's going to edit it?
Yeah, we won't edit. We'll just...
Live stream.
With the peace thoughts and everything.
So before
and
we
the
go,
random spot in French.
Before we go, we have to mention the Fire and Water Podcast Network Patreon page at patreon.com/FWPodcast. If you like our content, please think about making a one-time or monthly donation, the amount of which will allow you to unlock rewards like getting on our hot list and get the girls to throw a custom compliment at you this month. All compliments will be those a robot would give.
Okay. We should ask not to do that. Does all of them.
Yeah. Who wants to do Gene Hendricks? Be mindful, this is one he's going to listen to for sure.
I haven't. Gene Hendricks knows a lot about Norse gods.
Yeah.
Beep beep. His database is impressive and complete.
For a human.
For a fleshy.
For a fleshy. Okay, who wants to do Mike Danis?
0000001 0000001 1 0000001.
I think it's like 1 1 1 1 1.
It
depends. What are you trying to say?
I don't know what that is.
I think that's the humans are dead. So
yes. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, it's 2020, by the time this comes out, who knows?
Once again, without emotion, the humans are dead.
Gotham Shorin.
Okay, so as a robot, I do not understand art, but you are good at it.
Well, yeah.
What's that?
For a human.
For a fleshy.
For a fleshy.
And finally, we got Monsieur Luc.
Monsieur Luc, tall.
For fleshy.
Feels like this episode was recorded like 1 a.m. So it wasn't.
To be fair, it's been dark since like 3. Yeah. So
we know, but this is the kind of episode that people are like, they must be drinking.
Not drinking.
No, it's just Friday. It was a long week. It's Friday night at 6 p.m. It's like 9:30. Yeah, we started at 6. It's time to go to bed.
Please say goodnight.
Good night.
Bye, guys. We love you.
Leave us comments wherever you can find the podcast, whether the Fire and Water Network website, the Fire and Water Network Facebook page, or through Twitter. The hashtag is FWPodcasts, plural. We'd love to hear from you about, well, I guess these four characters and concepts, but on the show in general. Until next time, be hot, don't be not.
Are you vibrating?
Yes, I'm vibrating. I'm supposed to do my exercises.
Okay. Still, let's exercise.
All right, in the compass.